What we found is that, first of all, that the occurrence of black lung disease in general, and especially the advanced stage of black lung, had declined sharply after the passage of a new mine safety law in 1969. But then in the 1990s, the occurrence of both regular black lung and the more advanced form of disease climbed and climbed sharply. And that's because mining changed in Appalachia. The big coal seams were gone. The thinner seams that were left were sort of wrapped in sandstone that contained quartz. And when you cut up that quartz, you're creating toxic silica dust, which is 20 times more toxic than coal dust alone. It appears that exposure to silica dust is what is causing what now exists and what NPR and Frontline have documented as an epidemic of progressive massive fibrosis, the most advanced stage of black lung disease. By our count now, we're up over 2,300 miners who've been diagnosed since 2010.
These are sad stories. I would imagine you sat down, spoken with those impacted. What are the stories they tell you?
We interviewed more than three dozen miners in the last year who all are sick and are dying from this disease. And they all describe how mining practices changed in their careers. They were working during this time period that mining changed and that more silica dust was created in mining. They talk about how the mining companies didn't necessarily take care of that dust. They talk about how there was cheating on the part of mining companies. Some mining companies, when mine inspectors came in to check for dust exposure, they talk about how if they complained, they might be fired, so they didn't. They talk about how the dust masks that are not required to be worn but are required to be made available didn't work and let harmful dust through, made it difficult to breathe, got clogged up. And the most heart-wrenching thing that they talk about, and you'll see this in the Frontline film on PBS on Tuesday night, their lives have changed. They can no longer do even the simplest things that they used to be able to do. They can't pick up their grandkids. They can't play with them. They can't mow the lawn. They can't work. They can't breathe. And as one pulmonologist described it, they are essentially slowly suffocating to death.
So everyone suspects there's something wrong. There's a health issue present in the work area. Regulators know? Do the mine operators know? Is this one of those industries that has a dirty little secret?
This is a combination of circumstances. One is the failure of regulators to keep up with the changes in mining. As you say, they knew. We went through 30 years of Mine Safety and Health Administration data on silica dust exposure in coal mines. Mine inspectors are in those mines underground four times a year, on the surface twice a year, and they measure the dust that miners are exposed to, and they analyze those dust samples for silica. And we looked back, and there were thousands and there were 21,000 instances of excessive exposure to silica in coal mines in the last 30 years. There were 9,000 instances of excessive exposure even after the Mine Safety and Health Administration took the regulatory step they're supposed to take to require the mining company to reduce the amount of silica exposure. And even after they did that, there was still too much silica 9,000 times. And there were recommendations really urging by the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health and a Labor Department advisory committee going back to the mid-1990s to make the silica regulations tougher and to regulate silica directly, which is not done now. That never happened. And the agency also knew that miners were getting sick back in the 1990s. There was a cluster of miners with advanced lung disease that the agency pinned to silica exposure back in 1996. And again, you know, nothing was done then or since. And as for the mining industry, you can't cut rock without knowing it, because it slows down mining machines. It actually wears down the cutting tools on the mining machines. And you have to separate rock from coal before you can sell the coal. So the mining industry knew what was going on as well in terms of that increased exposure. And they knew what was making miners sick because the Mine Safety and Health Administration told them in 1996. They sent out an alert to mining companies. Miners are getting sick with advanced lung disease. Silica is the cause. You need to do something about silica.
So what's happening now? What is the recourse of miners who are either already struggling with this and miners who may be healthy but are seeking more protections?
Well, the miners who are struggling with this are going to die from it or from some other related organ failure or pneumonia or something that's related to the disease, it's incurable. There's nothing they can do except maybe for a lung transplant. It's difficult for them to qualify because you have to be sick enough to qualify, but not too sick. And also the survival rate for coal miners with lung transplants is only 3.5 years on average. That's a much lower rate than everybody else. So it's not a panacea for sure. So the miners, there's not much hope for them who are already sick. The problem with the system is that there's no required testing for black lung disease while you're working. It's a voluntary testing program. And because of that, miners don't necessarily go in for testing while they're working. They worry that the test results might somehow get back to the mining company. They're not supposed to. It's supposed to be private. But they worry that the test results will get back to the mining company. If the mining company finds out that they have, you know, early stages of black lung, they worry they'll get fired. The law protects them from that, but that's a legitimate worry on their part. And so the participation rate in the voluntary testing program is 35% nationwide. It's only 17% in Eastern Kentucky. So that's one issue. There are miners walking around now who are working. And there are 50,000 miners, by the way, working today in coal mines around the country. There are miners who are working who have disease and early stages of disease and don't know it, and they won't know it until it's too late. If they did know it, they at least could make a choice. They could say, all right, I'm going to quit coal mining. I'm going to do something else. Or they even have a right under the law to say, I have signs of disease. You need to give me a job where I'm no longer exposed to dust on the surface or somewhere else, you know, in the mine. And under the law, they have that right. But very few miners exercise that. And the biggest problem is that many miners don't know what the exposure is doing to them.
Is this a case now where government regulators need to go back and take a closer look at this and rewrite those regulations?
That's what was supposed to have happened during the Obama administration. There was a major rewrite of dust exposure regulations, but they left silica out of that regulatory process. They kind of punted that, and that's now before the Trump administration. And as you'll see in the Frontline film, the head of the Mine Safety Agency, David Zetezlo, who's a former mining company executive and mining industry advocate, lobbyist, contradicts himself on the danger of silica. In a speech at West Virginia University, he says that progressive massive fibrosis, the advanced stage of black lung, is caused by silica dust and they need to control silica. And then immediately afterwards, when we approached him, he said the science isn't in on that. So far, the Trump administration has no proposal on its regulatory agenda to deal directly with the silica problem, as no administration has done in the last 40 years.
Howard Berkus, NPR and Frontline correspondent. Coal's Deadly Dust airs Tuesday night at 10 o'clock on WGVU Public Television. Howard, thank you so much.
Thank you for being interested in this story.